And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Thick and Sick. Written by Paul Reimer and brought to you each weekday by the makers of Crisco. Say, have you heard the talk about the Crisco ad that's appeared in papers all over the country? This ad gives a whole week's menus for hearty meals with plenty of meat dishes on your 16 ration point. Why, shucks, one woman said that she's tacked those Crisco menus up alongside her icebox. She's following them faithfully every day. And another woman said that she never could have budgeted her red ration points without those Crisco menus to help. Now, if you missed that Crisco ad, I'll tell you how to get a copy in just a minute. But first, I'd like to ask you a question. Just how many of you bought pure all-vegetable Crisco this week? How about that? Now, you know, Crisco can help you make your red ration points do more. Sure, you see, with Crisco, you have only two fats to think about. Butter for the table and Crisco for all your cooking. You'd be amazed at all the appetizing ways Crisco adds variety to meals. Why, Crisco not only gives you lighter cakes and flaky pie crusts, it makes delicious hot breads, too, and sauces and gravies and casserole dishes. To say nothing of those golden brown, easy-digesting Crisco fried foods. And do you know about the extra energy you add to meals just by using Crisco in your cooking? Why, there's at least twice as much energy in a meat pie with Crisco biscuits on top than there is to just lean meat. And that's something to remember, because with food shortages, you're apt to skimp on the good, energy-rich food your family needs. Now, in that Crisco newspaper ad, there's real help for your meal planning. A complete set of 21 menus for a family of four. Thrifty meals for a whole week that allow for plenty of meat dishes and still stay within your ration points. There are menus you want for sure, so if you missed the ad, just send your name and address to Crisco, Cincinnati, Ohio, and a copy of those 21 Crisco menus will be sent you free. And now back to Bacon Say. Well, sir, it's about 4:30 o'clock as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. Victor Gook all by himself. Mr. Gook has spent the afternoon coping with a particularly complex job of office work. And at this moment, a familiar voice is heard in the kitchen.
You in there, Vince?
I don't know.
Still working?
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if you're busy or not. There's something I want to tell you.
It's the excitement.
Can I sit down a minute?
Sure. Sit down an hour.
You're not through.
I'm not through, but I'm over the hump. The tough problems are all solved. I can coast in now. As a matter of fact, all I have to do is copy the results of my labors neatly on a clean piece of paper.
Well, don't even do that for a little bit. Put down your pen and ink. I want you to listen to this.
Okay.
Put down your pen and ink.
Okay.
I've been over to Dottie's.
You're always over to Dottie's.
First time I've been over there today.
She was over here a while ago, wasn't she?
Just to borrow a pinch of salt was all.
She was over this morning, too, wasn't she?
Well, just to read me a letter she received from her mother was all. Goodness, Vic, there isn't any more running back and forth between Dottie and me than there is between other ladies in the neighborhood.
Oh, dear, I don't care, Dr. Speed.
Well, if you don't care about stuff, don't bring up stuff.
Okay, okay. What's the excitement?
They're going to have a housewarming.
Chuck and Dottie?
Chuck and Dottie. They haven't set a date yet, but it'll be soon.
I think I'll wear my little blue frock with the low-cut neck and the petticoat sleeves and those sweet beaded slippers with the impudent bows and my chain bracelet.
If you knew all the exciting trash I had to tell you, you'd be quiet and listen and not waste time with the funny, funny jokes.
All right, Morgan, Miss Perrin, my dearest love.
60 people.
60 people at the housewarming?
60 people. 30 couples.
Where on earth did Chuck and Dottie ever dig up that?
A good many of them. Neighbors right here in the block. And then there's business friends of Chuck's. And then there's people Chuck and Dottie have made friends with since they've moved to town. They're both such mixers, you know. Why, goodness, when we come here, I never had 6 friends to my name for over a year. Chuck and Dottie know everybody.
Yeah, I've seen their hail fellow well-met deportment when they meet.
Well, hey, I want to tell you as much details as I can before they slip my mind. In the first place, what was it you said the other day you suspected Chuck of being a penny popper?
Penny popper?
Some expression that meant stingy. Quarter porter? Dime chime?
Uh-uh.
Oh, well, don't make any difference. But listen to this. You can just change your opinion of
Chuck.
Oh,
nickel nurser.
Yeah, nickel nurser.
Penny popper, quarter porter.
And nickel nurser was the expression. Well, you can just change your mind about Chuck's stinginess.
I already have.
Yeah?
I decided last week Chuck was willing to pay his part of the freight. Remember when he and I strolled down to get some cigars and then some ice cream for you girls?
No, but let me talk.
Sure.
Written invitation.
Hey.
Expensive paper and envelope, green ink, 2 cent stamp on everyone, and the mailman drops yours in the box.
I fall.
No, but most housewarmings, they call you up on the telephone. Expensive paper and envelopes, green ink, 2 cent stamp on everyone, and the mailman drops yours in the box.
In that connection, I once knew...
Hang on to your hat.
Okay.
RSVP.
Yeah?
If you can't come, write a note and say so. If you can come, write a note and say so.
The world crumbles beneath my feet. To quote a famous authority, has civilization sunk so low a common, ordinary
that
American...
That goes for us that live right next door, and it goes for knee suffers and razor scums that live just across the alley. Everybody's got to write a note.
The main man will be as busy as a bee.
I'll say he will.
Poor mailman in your sooty gray. I saw you trudge along today with postal cards and billy-doo. I bet you...
Oh,
can't...
Vic, I haven't got my teeth into this yet.
Go ahead.
A butler.
Yeah?
A man to greet people at the door when they arrive and announce their names and take their rest.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
For Pete's sake, it's right.
This isn't the Virginia Avenue I knew.
Ooh, Virginia Avenue's going to scream like a panther and call for a drink of cold water.
A butler, yes.
You know who I think the butler's going to be?
A former retainer of King Spooner the 15th in Port
Uncle Christ. Fletcher.
Really?
Well, they're going to ask him anyway.
A job like that's right down Uncle Fletcher's alley.
Yes, he'll love it.
Announcing Mr. and Mrs. Alvin Trogo of the 700 block on West Monroe Street.
Yes, Uncle Fletcher just love that. Donnie's idea. Isn't it sweet?
Announcing Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Horan of the 1500 block on South Oak Street. And their children, Arthur, Harold, Vivian, George, Harriet.
No kids.
No kids?
No kids.
That's a departure.
Isn't it? This housewarming is strictly high class, la-di-da, up one side and down the other, from beginning to end and in the middle.
Are the guests dressing?
Hmm?
Are tailcoats and silk hats in order? Are the gentlemen expected?
They talked about it.
I very much fear a good many.
Yes, that'd scare people out, of course. But they talked about it.
Hmm.
You don't think Chuck Brainfeeble is a dollar drooper now, I bet.
Nick
Do you?
Chuck Brainfeeble is the mad master of the revels. I would drink a toast from Chuck Brainfeeble's slipper.
Won't be any of that.
No?
No, sir.
Such guests as Charlie Razorscum and Ike Kneesuffer will mope and pine if they don't.
Let them mope
little...
and pine.
Yeah?
Oh, I got oceans more trash to tell you, Vic.
Okay.
Out in the kitchen, Dottie's engaged that Mrs. Hockerman from over on Locust Street and her daughter, Jeanette. They're going to fix refreshments and all.
Hmm.
Now, hold on to your hat again.
All right.
Who's the shoeshine fella you talk about that works down in the Butler House Hotel barbershop?
Booker Lincoln McKinley?
Yes.
Is Booker
He's going to wear a white coat and patent leather shoes and wander around among the guests with a tray of salted peanuts and junk.
Gosh.
Isn't your head spinning?
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Dottie Brainfeeble doing all this, Vic. Chuck and Dottie Brainfeeble.
Chuck and Dottie Brainfeeble have earned my
And music.
Music, too?
Your chum Hank Cutstop's going to sing those two vocal solos of his.
Well.
He's not a guest, of course.
No?
Naturally not. He's just a plain entertainer. After he sings his songs, he collects his salary and goes in the kitchen and out the back door.
Seems to me Hank is deserving of more than that.
No, this is a la-di-da housewarming. No riffraff allowed.
Riffraff is a rather hard
and
term to
you know
apply.
Who's going to render his accompaniment?
No.
That other chum of yours from the barbershop, Alf Musherton.
Really? On the cornet, huh?
Yes. Chuck and Dottie did think of renting a piano.
Huh?
What are those two vocal solos Hank sings?
Oh, would that these pale hands chrysanthemums might gather. Throw me over the grape arbor, a single red, red rose, my love.
Yeah.
I don't believe I ever heard of such a mad, frenzied orgy. Why, this'll eclipse the whole brilliance
of society. Oh, and here's something Chuck wants to do and Dottie don't.
Have the Minneapolis Symphony Orchestra out in the backyard playing muted music while beautiful girls...
Hire a detective? Yeah, to keep an eye on the ladies' jewelry and snake out any outsiders that come without invitation.
I call that going a little strong.
Well, Dottie don't like the notion at all. She thinks it's in bad taste. Unnecessary show.
Mm.
But Chuck's enthusiastic. He wants to hire this fella, see, and have him wear a false mustache, see, that keeps falling off, see, so the guests will know he is a detective. And he'll lurk around doorways, don't you know, and every once in a while pat himself on the hip where there's a big bulge that gives it away. He's carrying a revolver.
No, I call that gilding the lily.
Well, I'm sure Dottie won't let him hire any detective.
Mm.
Let's see. How many people does that make they're hiring? Oh, and Bluetooth Johnson.
What about Bluetooth?
Chuck's given him 50 cents just to be around handy to run errands. Make himself useful, don't you know, and so on.
Uh-huh.
How many does that make they're hiring?
Well, Uncle Fletcher.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher's considered a guest.
Oh, is he?
Sure.
Well, Mrs. Hockerman.
And her daughter, Jeanette, that's two.
Booker Lincoln McKinley.
Three. And the musicians, Hank Upstaff and Alf Musherton.
Five.
And Bluetooth Johnson.
Six.
Six. Just think, six.
Gumshoe Gus, it makes seven.
Who?
The sleuth, the detective.
Oh, I know they won't hire him.
Mm.
They're giving a housewarming and employing six people.
When is the housewarming?
Soon.
Hmm.
Chuck and Dottie Brain Fever are doing this thing. Chuck and Dottie Brain Fever.
Hmm.
Aren't you giddy?
Yeah.
Aren't you giddy?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Goes back and save the night. Robert speaking.
Is enroll now in my 12. Attention, ladies. Professor Need for my famous 12-day course. Every salt and a dishpan. It's your homework. Go over it three every meal. Now, if you've been using soap, dismiss the red coarse hand. Trade on velvet suds ivory. This ivory soap is pure. Stands for purity. No, will graduate with smoother sea. They're lovelier. They cost. Remember, you're in the dishpan.
Exciting, too baffling, too emotional. Better not tune in tonight over another... Don't say I didn't warn you. Came to you from New York and Chicago. Little Broadcasting Company.